Good morning, everyone, and welcome all of you to the Family Bible Hour. We have been studying from the epistle to 1 John, and we were studying verse 10 of chapter 3. See, verse 10 is like a door hinge, I would say, like a hinge wherein the author is trying to transition to a new theme that is coming to the next few verses. And God willing, we will study from verse 10 onwards till the last of this chapter. 1 John chapter 10, we read like this: "In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of devil. Whosoever doth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother." In the past classes we learned how children of God will manifest themselves by practicing righteousness in their life. And today, God willing, we'll study the children of God will have a love towards other children of God in the family. Sadly, love is one of the most devalued virtue in this world that we are living in. We know the New Testament is written in Greek, and I referred one of the brothers, Ironside, on the comment on this verb, love. And it reads like this: there are three distinct words used for love in the Greek language: eros, philia, and agapeo. One of these words is never used in the New Testament. It is the word eros. This word was also the name of Greek equivalent of Cupid. According to Roman mythology, Cupid was a son of Venus, the goddess of sensual love and physical beauty. Among the Greeks, they used the name of Aphrodite for the goddess and Eros for her son. The word for love is never used in this context in New Testament, probably because it had been degraded among the Greeks. The Holy Spirit guarded over the pages of the New Testament and said, "Don't pollute these pages with a word that has become so debased." So the other two words that are there in Greek for love is philia and agapeo. Philia means affection or friendliness, the kind of love that good-natured people feel one towards another. This word is frequently used in the New Testament. It is used of God in one place, in Titus chapter 3, verse 4 and 5. It reads like this: "After that, the kindness and the love of God our Savior towards men appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost." You see, the word love toward man is actually one word in Greek, and that word is philia. It is really from the word we get philanthropy. That means it was philanthropy of God towards man that He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, for our sins. So, a third word is agapeo in Greek. This word signifies divine love. And in 1 John chapter 4, verse 16, we see God is love. God is agapeo. It is the highest divine love that we can see in the epistle. I went to the Greek English Bible and wanted to know what exactly agapeo means. And the dictionary says like this: agapeo, translated charity, means benevolent love. Its benevolence, however, is not shown by doing what the person loved desired, but what one who loved deems as needed by one loved. For example, John 3:16, we all know the verse: God so loved the world that He gave what? He gave His only Son. Not what man wanted, but what God saw a need in man, that He sent His Son. And this is the word agapeo that we see in this epistle. And this love that a man has to appropriate God's love, then only he can show it to others. This love is a proof of new nature in me. A regenerated person will show this love to others. And this epistle, John is actually speaking about this divine love demonstrated to the uttermost degree by our Lord Jesus Christ by dying for our sins. And this love is not just a good feeling that we have with our favorite people. No, but it is a determination to love a child of God because he belongs, or he or she belongs to God. It is a determination. It is much different by what the world proclaims to be love. In this passage, we can see five things that John, the apostle, is trying to say about love. First is in verses 10 to 12. Love distinguishes the children of God. Let us read verse 10 again. In this, the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. The first half of this verse we studied in the previous sermon, and we saw that a child of God will manifest his practices is righteous. He practices righteousness in his life. And today we will see a child of God will have a feeling of love towards other children of God in the family. It is a kind of social test that John the Apostle is trying to convey, a test that whether you and I are a child of God when we display love towards other God's children. And we see here is that neither he that loveth not his brother, that is, does not just say only brothers, it is a word which includes sisters and brothers. It's called, it is a mutual love that we have with each other, with each children of God. Verse 11, for this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Time and again, we can see in this epistle, the phrase in the beginning is repeated. It's as if a characteristic of John when he's writing this epistle, in the beginning. He's referring to the teaching that the Lord Jesus Christ conveyed from the very beginning, and he is pointing to us to the very, very early Christian instruction with John and other apostles faithfully conveyed to us through the Gospels and the New Testament. In a day when men are trying to teach new doctrines, here we see the Spirit of the Lord is trying to convey that you go back to the earliest teaching. A teaching that the scripture is conveying. Let me turn your attention to Acts chapter 2, verse 41 to 42. What did the early children Christians did when they became children of God? Acts chapter 2, verse 41 and 42. It reads like this: then they that gladly received his words were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and the breaking of bread and in prayers. So let us obey what the Lord is telling us, to go back to what our Lord Jesus Christ conveyed, and the apostles repeated the message that about our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 12, not 1 John chapter 3 verse 12, not as Cain, who was of the wicked one and murdered his brother. We see Apostle John is trying to convey a contrast. You should love other believers, but not like Cain, who was of the wicked one. Who was Cain? Genesis chapter 4 verse 4 to 8, we see about a family, about the first murder that happened in this world. Genesis chapter 4, verses 4 to 8. And Abel, he also brought of the firstling of his flock, and of the fat thereof, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had no respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth? Why is thy countenance fallen? If thou didst well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou dost not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. We see the first murder that is happening in this world. So we see John is trying to introduce another family who is typified as a family in the world, which is frequently marked by hatred, by jealousy, and even unto murder. Note carefully, Cain was not an atheist. He was a well-respected and a religious man in his own way. Yet, Abel's sacrifice was accepted by God, and Cain's sacrifices was rejected. And this made him consumed with envy and jealousy, and his character was revealed when he murdered his own brother. We see, next, John is continuing. Why did he murder him? What was the point of his murder? There was no cause for that murder. That reminds us of our Lord Jesus Christ, when Psalmist was writing in Psalm 69 verse 4, They that hated me without a cause are more than the hairs of mine head. We see the world hated our Lord Jesus Christ, and that was the reason he was crucified on that cross by the people. Here we see Cain was stirred up by jealousy, and he moved to hate his brother, and finally he murdered his own brother. What a terrible thing is sin. In Songs of Solomon chapters 8 verse 6, we see jealousy is cruel as grave. My dear brothers and sisters, never allow to harbor jealousy in our heart. If we have jealousy in our hearts, let us go immediately to the presence of God, confess our sin, and forsake that jealousy. And we see Cain, who had jealousy in his heart, had hatred towards his own brother, and he killed his own brother. The man who presumed that God can be worshipped in his own way, he thought, and he, when he found that his sons, his brother's worship was accepted by God, he hated his own brother to the point of murder. In that portion, Genesis chapter 4, we see, but unto Cain and to his offering he had no respect. We see God knew the heart of Cain, and he rejected Cain. Then he rejected his offering that Cain had brought before God. My dear brothers and sisters, sin in our heart can never be accepted by our Lord Jesus Christ. If we have sin in our hearts, let us go and confess and accept the promise of salvation that he has offered through his Son, Lord Jesus Christ, on that cross. So, second aspect of love is an evidence of a person truly being born again, verses 13 to 15. Love is the evidence of being truly born again, verse 13 to 15. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. Now, John is not trying to create a siege mentality or a cultish behavior and saying that everybody who is outside in this world are going to hate you. Then you should be living in the Himalayas like a hermit. No, he is not promoting a mentality like that. In fact, Jesus Christ, when he is telling that each one of his followers are like missionaries sent out to this world. John chapter 17 verse 18, it says, As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into this world. The Lord Jesus Christ has sent us, his followers, as missionaries in our workplaces, in our colleges, in our schools, at a place that where we live in, to showcase our Lord Jesus Christ in our life. But in John chapter 7, verse 7, Jesus Christ is telling the system of this world is invariably hostile to a child of God. John chapter 17, verse 14 says, "The world has hated them because they are not of this world, just as I am not of this world." So there is no point of uncertainty. The system of this world is against a child of God. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12, Paul is writing to Timothy saying, "Yea, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." We saw what was the result of a hatred that we saw in the United States a couple of weeks ago. A person was shot dead because of hatred in his life. Love is the evidence of somebody who of being truly born again or not. Verse 14, "We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren." So when we love a brethren, it is a sure indicator that you and I are a child of God. Why? Because it is the very nature of the life of God that is imparted to us, that we love others in our life. Eternal life promotes love. That's what we see. In John chapter 5 verse 24 also, we can see that we have passed over death unto life. We have crossed over from one sphere to another. We have crossed over from sphere of death to sphere of life because of what Lord Jesus Christ has done. It may be that when we come to know our brother more closer, it will be more harder for us to love him or her. But this kind of love is only possible when we have the new birth that we see in Christ Jesus. Absence of love indicates that we are still in the sphere of death. That's what we read in verse 14. "We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death." Verse 15. "Whosoever hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life." Hatred destroys people. It destroys communities. It destroys families, even physically separating them. It is essentially the spirit of the killer. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 21 and 22, Jesus Christ is telling the source of murder is uncontrolled anger. To persistently harbor a spirit of hatred is not for a child of God. We should remove, if we have that sin in our life, let us confess that sin to the Lord and remove that sin. No one who willfully goes in these sins can call himself to be a child of God. And we saw hatred is the root of murder. And we saw in Genesis chapter 4, verse 4 to 8, that Cain hated his brother, and that is the result that he killed his own brother. Third thing that we see about love is love has a sense of obligation. Love has a sense of obligation that he has given to us. Verses 16 to 18. Verse 16, By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. Here is a mark of true love, that we have an obligation. We have an obligation that Jesus Christ has shown on the cross. That is the concept of love, that agape love, the benevolent love that God has showed on the cross for our sins, that he sacrificially sent his son as a sacrifice for your sins and my sins. Verse 16 says like this, "Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brother." What is manifested in Christ should be manifested in us, even to the point of laying down our lives for our brothers. We must sacrificially love our brothers through service and with each other. Verse 17, "But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him? How does the love of God abide in him? Here, the apostle is trying to show a contrast of how we can show love even by sharing the world's goods, that means the means of life that we have. Apostle John is telling, if we cannot show love by sharing the basic means of life, how can we show the example that Jesus Christ has set on the cross for us? That is, he laid down his life for us. I have heard a story about General William Booth of Salvation Army. When he was almost in his deathbed, he was supposed to give a sermon in one place. And because of his ill health, he could not come to that place. So finally, he wrote a letter and sent it to through an envelope to that to the congregation MC. And in that letter, there was only one word: others. And we see the service of Salvation Army all across the world, what William Booth has started. We see here, Apostle John is trying to tell, if we cannot share the basics, goods of life, how can we follow Christ's example on by giving his own life for us? Verse 18, my little children, let us not love in words or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Love in word may be genuine, but is lacking the necessary conviction to carry it into action. And there's English phrase, an action speaks louder than words. Our words and actions should match. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13 verse 3, we see it is possible to show deeds without love. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 3 says, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. So see, John is trying to highlight the contrast in comparative terms, that we should love in word and in deeds together. Fourth aspect of love that we can see is love can be a source of confidence before God. Love can be a source of confidence before God. Verses 19 to 22. Verse 19. And by this we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. The thought of assurance gives us confidence even in prayer. Verse 22, we read like this, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Where do we get the confidence of our salvation? It roots back to verse 14. It says, we have passed from death unto life. We have the confidence because we are not now in the sphere of death, but we are in this sphere of life. And this thought of assurance leads to confidence in prayer. Verse 20, for if our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our hearts and know all things. This sentence is to be read as an encouragement, not as a threat. When Peter was asked by the Lord Jesus Christ, do you love me? He asked three times he asked, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? And finally, Peter is saying in John chapter 21, verse 17, that Christ knows all things. God is greater than all our feelings. He is a better judge. He knows our circumstances. He knows our patterns of life. And when we display love, loving others and our brothers, it is as a pattern of life, it is a proof that believer is standing uncondemned before God. Verse 21, Beloved, if our hearts condemn us, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence towards God. Doubt and anxiety might hinder our prayer life, but when we trust in the Lord, we will have confidence towards God. In Hebrews chapter 10 verse 19, we see read like this: having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus Christ. Perfect love casteth out fear. Let us in the coming days improve our love towards others, to our own kind. Verse 22. And whatsoever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Many in prosperity gospel, we see people preaching, and whatsoever we ask, we receive from him. It is not what they think. In 1 John chapter 5 verse 14, John is trying to explain a little more about what is this. 1 John chapter 5 verse 14. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. When we are a child of God, when we are praying, we will pray according to his will. Psalms 37 verse 4 says like this: delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desire of your heart. When you and I will pray according to his will. We will align my will to God's will, and God will hear and provide for our needs. Verse 22 we read, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandment. Fifth aspect of love that we can see is verse 23 and 24. Love will bring obedience. Love will bring obedience. Verse 23. And this is his commandment, that we should believe in the name of his Son Jesus Christ and love one another as he gave us commandment. Believing and living should go hand in hand. Our doctrine and our practice should go hand in hand. That's what this word is telling. Let me turn your attention to John chapter 13, verse 34 and 35. John's Gospel, chapter 13, verse 34 and 35. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, and ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye love one another. The love will produce obedience. Verse 24. Now he who keeps his commandment abides in him, and he in him. Here we see mutual abiding is the strongest expression of spiritual union with God. That is the Holy Spirit abiding in us and I in him. It is not something mysticism like a mystic people, but it is the Lord's promise in John 14 verse 23. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Here we see the love will produce obedience, and we see Jesus Christ has promised the Holy Spirit will come, there will be indwelling of Holy Spirit in a child of God. The verse continues like this: and by this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us. The Holy Spirit is given to a child of God, and he abides in us. And this Holy Spirit, in 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7, it reads, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. This Holy Spirit is a spirit of love, of power and of sound mind. And he, when he indwells in a believer, every decision a believer takes is controlled by the Holy Spirit. When he walks in love, when he manifests love towards others, that should be by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. So we saw five aspects of love in this passage. Love distinguishes a child of God. He will display the love of God that God has shown to him to his own fellow members of the family. Love is the evidence of being truly being saved. Third, love has a sense of obligation to others. We are obligated to show love of God to others in our life. Love can be a source of confidence before God. Finally, love will produce obedience in our life. May these words help us in our spiritual journey. May His name be glorified.